This is Gino Cassieri, pastor of Open Door Baptist Church in Wilmington, Massachusetts, and adjunct professor with Andersonville Baptist Seminary. And the course that we're undertaking is a course in the book of Zechariah. And currently, as we look at our course outline, we're under lesson number 3. We began lesson number 3 the last time we were together, and now we're going to finish lesson number 3 and look at Roman numeral 2 under lesson number 3, the four carpenters. It's extremely difficult to identify the carpenters, but there are some observations that can be made. First of all, carpenters usually build, not tear down. It is possible that God is showing us a method of destruction through construction. When building exceeds the basic human needs of housing and work, we usually tend to erect things that magnify man. Man's great occupation with himself is usually his downfall. And we see this spoken about in Proverbs chapter number 1. In Proverbs chapter number 1 in verses 29 to 31 we read, "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." So God warns, if you don't want to listen to him, you'll reap destruction at your own hands using your own devices. Another observation we want to make is Christ the builder. Whoever the carpenters are, they are probably a type of Jesus Christ. Because we know that Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. We see this in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse number 3. The Bible tells us, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph and Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. This is also a good verse to show that Jesus had brothers and sisters, amen, that Mary bore children after Jesus was born. We also know that Jesus is building a church. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 16, verse number 18, the Bible says, "And I say unto thee," and Jesus is speaking here in the context, "and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." We see in John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And of course he was talking about his body. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verses 5 through 7, we read, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And of course, this is talking about the priesthood of the believer in Christ. The Christian is called lively stones, and we are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And of course, which this pictures is the Old Testament priesthood, where they offered up physical sacrifices, amen. But as believers, each believer is a priest, belongs to the priesthood, amen, holy priesthood. But we don't offer up sacrifices anymore, our physical sacrifices, animal sacrifices. because we're told in the scriptures that Jesus offered up himself once and for all, amen. So we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And we continue, wherefore, also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And of course, that chief cornerstone is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner. And again, the head of the corner, that same stone is Jesus Christ. We know that Christ will destroy the nations of the world, while that which he built accompanies him. And of course, that's the church, the body of Christ. When Jesus returns, he'll bring the church that he has been building since the day of Pentecost right up until the day of the rapture when that comes. And we read about the Lord returning to this earth at the second advent, at the end of the tribulation, with the church that he's been building for 2,000 or more years. We read in Revelation chapter 19, beginning in verse 6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And of course, his wife is none other than the church, the body of Christ, which becomes the bride, amen, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Verse 11, Revelation 19, as we continue. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called the Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ on that white horse. His eyes, and here we have a description, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's us. That's the bride of Christ. It's the body of Christ. Those that he's, the church that he's been building will return with him. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vestures and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that concludes lesson number 3. And actually, we've completed chapter 1 of Zechariah. Now we're going to begin. We're going to begin lesson number 4, which will cover Zechariah chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. And if you look at your course outline in front of you, we have, number 1, the vision presented in verses 1 through 5 in chapter 2. We have the surveyor in verses 1 to 2. And then we have the identity of the other personalities in verses 3 to 5. And then number 2, under lesson number 4, we have the promises proceeding from the vision, found in verses 4 through 13. And we break those out as follows. Jerusalem will enjoy a prosperous expansion in verse 4. Jerusalem will experience special divine protection and glory. We'll see that in verse 5. Israel will be restored and repatriated in verses 6 and 7. The nations that have spoiled Israel will be judged and punished. We'll see that in Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And the earth will be prepared for full millennial blessing in verses 10 to 13, which will close out the chapter 2 of Zechariah. But let's turn there to Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. And we're going to look at, first of all, the vision presented. The vision presented, amen, in verses 1 through 5. Before we begin in verses 1 through 5 of Zechariah, I just want to give you this little brief introduction to chapter 2. In chapter 1, God has given to Israel a brief overview into what is called the times of the Gentiles. This particular period of time finds its consummation during the Great Tribulation through the anti-Semitic reign of the Antichrist. God comforts Israel with the good news of his eventual deliverance of the nation. In chapter 2, the Lord gives us a look beyond those cataclysmic events into the rest and glory of the millennium. Now let's begin the vision presented, Zechariah 2, verses 1 to 5. I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, whither goest thou? And he said unto me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went forth to meet him, and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls, for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. First, we now want to look at the surveyor. The surveyor. Even as Zechariah saw a man going forth to measure Jerusalem, Ezekiel also witnessed a man going forth to measure a millennial temple in Ezekiel chapter 40. They are undoubtedly one and the same. Ezekiel gives us many more details of his appearance, which enables us to identify him as the angel of the Lord. For example, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 40 with me. Ezekiel chapter 40, verse number 3. In Ezekiel 40, verse number 3, the Bible says, and he brought me thither, and behold, there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of brass, with a line of flax in his hand and a measuring reed, and he stood in the gate. And of course, we said earlier in a lesson before that the angel of the Lord is a theophany, or the Lord Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate appearance. We also read in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10, and you'll see a similarity of the appearance of the angel of the Lord or of Christ, amen. Daniel chapter 10, verse number 6, the Bible says, His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Again, another description of Christ. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Revelation chapter 1, excuse me, verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, if as they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. Again, we notice that brass in that description has been all the way through here in Ezekiel, Daniel, and Revelation. Now, Revelations 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Also, there is no doubt that the Lord is often referred to as a man. Look at with me, for example, in Zechariah chapter 6 and verse number 12. Zechariah chapter 6, verse number 12. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold the man whose name is the branch. And of course, we said the branch here, and it's all in capital letters, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Look it with me also in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. So the Lord is a man of war. And then one other place, Genesis chapter 18. So we see clearly that the Lord is referred to as a man. Again, Genesis chapter 18 with me. Verses 1 and 2. And the Lord had appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door and in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. So we see that the angel of the Lord, amen, appears as a man to Abraham. So we see then the surveyor, then we've identified the surveyor as the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at the identity of the other personalities in verses 3 to 5 of Zechariah chapter 2. Behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him and said unto him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For he saith, the Lord will be under her a wall of fire around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Zechariah himself appears as the interrogator of the man with the measuring line in his hand. The angel that appeared in the conversation of chapter 1 with Zechariah is met by another angel. The second angel is evidently commissioned to bring forth further information. The young man of verse 4 here in Zechariah 2 must be Zechariah. We see we find a similar attitude displayed towards David and 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33, when Saul questions the fighting abilities of David, he says, "Thou art not able, for thou art but a youth." Now we turn to point number 2 under lesson 4, promises proceeding from the vision. First of all, we want to look at Jerusalem. Jerusalem will enjoy prosperous expansion. We see that in verse 4. "And said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein." Jerusalem will enjoy prosperous expansion. High walls, gates and bars, etc., are all necessary fortification for the purpose of a relatively secure defense. God comforts Israel with the fact that the day will come when Jerusalem will be as the unwalled suburbs and villages. And we see in Esther chapter 9, if you turn there, Esther chapter 9, in Esther chapter 9 and verse number 19, we read, "Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month, Adar, a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day of sending portions one to another." The phenomenal growth of the major metropolitan areas in the 20th century is a picture of what will happen when Jerusalem becomes the religious, political, and social capital of the world. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Verses 19 and 20. "For thy waste in thy desolate places, the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants. And they that swallow thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have after thou hast lost the other shall say again in thine ears, The place is too straight for me. Give me place to me that I may dwell." So we see then that Jerusalem is going to be someday the religious, political, and social capital of the world, amen. It certainly is not today. The second blessing or promise that proceeds from the vision is Jerusalem will experience special divine protection in glory. And in verse 5 we read, "For I saith the Lord, will be under her a wall of fire around about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." Jerusalem will prosper and overflow its present boundaries. It will be expanded into the rural areas that surround it without needs of walls, fortification, and other defenses. The Lord himself promises in verse 5 here of Zechariah chapter 2, shall be a protective wall of fire around about her. Not only that, he will also be the glory in the midst of Jerusalem for his people. This fact is expanded upon in Ezekiel chapter 43, if you turn there with me. Ezekiel chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43, in verses 1 through 7. And afterwards he brought me to the gate, even the east, that looketh toward even the gate that looketh towards the east. And behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the visions that I saw by the river Kibar. And I fell upon my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, in my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. So we see here how the glory of the Lord is going to be right in the midst of Jerusalem someday. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it in the future. Amen. According to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. At that time, the angel of the Lord, with whom the cloud of glory was associated in the Old Testament. And of course, we remember that when the children of Israel were traveling in the wilderness, they had a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire at night to protect them and to guide them. At the time the angel of the Lord, with whom the cloud of glory was associated in the Old Testament, will be made manifest visibly and personally in Jesus Christ as he sits upon the throne of David and rules with a rod of iron. That day is coming soon, my friend. The wicked may be seeming right now that they're getting away with their abomination and their wickedness, but someday the Lord will return. And he'll put all the rebellion down, and he'll come. Second time he comes, he's not going to be the meek and lowly Jesus, but he's going to be Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 4 and read down through that. Isaiah chapter 4. In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud, and a smoke by day, and a shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Again, now, we're in lesson number 4 and we're under Roman numeral 2. We're looking at the promises proceeding from the vision. We're going to see now, we're looking at the third promise, C, under Roman numeral 2. Israel will be restored and repatriated. In verses 6 and 7 of Ezekiel chapter number 2. Ezekiel 2, verses 6 and 7. Ho and ho, come forth, and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon. The warnings to flee and escape from Babylon found fulfillment but 2 short years after the giving of this prophecy. Like so many of the prophecies found in the Old Testament, they can be seen in the light of dual applications. One fulfilled, one yet future. Zechariah 2 also brings into vision the future escape from and deliverance of prophetic Babylon in Revelations chapter 17 and 18. John makes a similar plea in Revelations chapter 18, if you turn there with me for a moment. Revelations chapter 18. In verses 1 through 4. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye may be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. So we see a similar plea made by John, the Apostle John, here in verse 4, where he says, Come out of her, my people. Now, these words are not, or this plea is not a new plea. The words have echoed down through biblical history. We see them being uttered time and time again in the prophets. Look at in Isaiah with me, chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48 with me. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse number 20. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. Look at also in Isaiah chapter 52 verse 11. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. This is nothing new, this plea, to come out. Come out of the world. Christians even today are told to come out of the world, amen. To be separated from the world and the things of the world. Looking in Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah chapter 51 with me. Jeremiah chapter 51 in verse number 6 of Jeremiah 51. Verse number 6. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. And then also in verse 45 of Jeremiah 51. The Bible tells us, My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of the Lord. God even uses the heathen king Cyrus to execute deliverance from Babylon. And we see this in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles with me. Chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 14 through 23. Moreover, all the priests, moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and treasures of the house of the Lord, and treasures of the king and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to them, to him and his sons, until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation through all his kingdom, and put it also in the writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. And he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. The call was headed on a very small scale when we compare it to the future fulfillment. Yes, so they were able to go back, amen, to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls and the temple, amen. But there were those that remember the first temple that was built, and it was nothing in comparison, and they cried. But we see that what was being done is still small in comparison of what's going to be fulfilled in the future when the temple and the millennial temple will be rebuilt, amen. We see in Isaiah chapter 11, we get a picture of that. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 10 through 16. Isaiah 11, 10 through 16. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And of course the root of Jesse is Jesus Christ, amen. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against us again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, that's the Jews, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. See, unlike what a lot of people believe, God is not through with his people Israel, amen. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off, and Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines towards the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hands upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. With his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. So we see that right now, this Jews is still, we have a small population of Jews in Israel right now. In fact, there are more Jews in New York City than there are in Israel at this time. But all the Jews will be regathered, amen, to Israel. And that's a promise that proceeds from the vision in Zechariah chapter 2. So we see so far we've looked at in lesson number 4 the promises proceeding from the vision. We've seen Jerusalem will enjoy prosperous expansion. Jerusalem will experience special divine protection and glory. And we just saw now that Israel will be restored and repatriated. And then God also promises that the nations that have spoiled Israel will be judged and punished. And we see that in Zechariah verses 8 and 9. Zechariah chapter 2 verses 8 and 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. And here we have a name for Israel that God gives it. Israel is the apple of his eye. Not the church, but Israel is the apple of God's eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. So we see here that one of the promises that precedes the vision here in Zechariah chapter 2 is that the nations that have spoiled Israel will be judged and punished. And as we look, the glory of verse 8 here is a reference to the second advent of Jesus Christ. So we're going to continue lesson number 4 in Zechariah chapter 2. We'll continue looking at, we'll further discuss this promise that the nations that have spoiled Israel will be judged and punished. And we'll cover this in some detail, and then we'll look at the final promise here that the earth will be prepared for full millennial blessing. And that'll close out lesson number 4. And we'll finish lesson number 4 when we pick up our study again.